ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय I don't have my glasses. So we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 42. Oh, they fell out of my bag, huh? Should we do the purport first? So we're starting this chapter, chapter 42, Breaking of the Sacrificial Bow. This chapter describes the benediction. Trivakra received the breaking of the sacrificial bow, the destruction of Kamsa's soldiers, the inauspicious omens Kamsa saw, and the festival at the wrestling arena. After leaving Sudama's house, Lord Krishna came upon Trivakra, a young hunchback maidservant of Kamsa, who was carrying a tray of fine ornaments. The Lord asked her requested some ornaments from her. Enhanced by his beauty and joking words, Trivakra gave both Krishna and Balaram a good deal of ornaments. In return, Krishna stepped on her toes with his lotus feet, took hold of her chin, and lifted, thus straightening her spine. The now beautiful and charming Trivakra then grabbed the edge of Krishna's upper cloth and asked him to come to her house. Krishna replied that after he had taken care of some business, he would certainly come and relieve her mental torments. And then the two lords continued, their sightseeing tour of Mathura. As Krishna and Balarama walked along the king's road, the merchants worshipped them with various offerings. Krishna asked where the bow sacrifice was to take place, and when he arrived at the arena, he saw the wonderful bow, which resembled Lord Indra's. Despite the guards' protest, Krishna forcibly picked up the bow, easily strung it, and in an instant broke it in half, producing an ear-splitting sound that filled the heavens and struck terror into the heart of Kamsa. The many guards attacked Krishna, saying, "Seize him, kill him." But Krishna and Balaram simply picked up the two halves of the bow and beat the guards to death. And next, the lords annihilated a company of soldiers sent by Kamsa, and then they left the arena and continued their tour. When the people of the city saw the amazing prowess and beauty of Krishna and Balaram, they thought, they must be two chief demigods. Indeed, in the residence of Mathura, as the residents of Mathura gazed upon the lords, they enjoyed all the blessings the gopis had predicted. At sunset, Krishna and Balaram returned to the cowherd camp for their evening meal. Then they passed the night resting comfortably. But King Kamsa was not so fortunate. When he heard how Krishna and Balaram had easily broken the mighty bow and destroyed his soldiers, he spent the night in great anxiety. Both while awake and while dreaming, he saw many ill omens portending his imminent death. And his fear returned, and his fear ruined any chance for resting. At dawn, the wrestling festival began. Crowds of people came from the city and outlying districts, entering the arena and took their seats in the lavishly decorated galleries. Kamsa, his heart trembling, sat down on the royal dais and invited Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men to come sit in their places. And they did so after offering him their gifts. The musical overture thus began to sound, the sound of the wrestling, slapping their arms responded and resounded.
What? This verse is 43rd chapter, verse 1. This is 42nd.
Oh. Sorry about that. Okay, I'll just start the verse. But these are my glasses. Whose glasses are these?
They came to work pretty good.
Probably better than mine. Text 1. Shisuku vacha Hatha Krishnascha Ramascha Kritya Socham Rantapa Mala Dundubi Nirgranam Shutva Dastrum Upet Yatu. Translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, O chastiser of enemies, Krishna and Balaram, having executed all necessary purification, then heard the kettle drums resounding at the wrestling arena, and they went there to see what was happening. Purport. Srila Swami explained the words Krita Socham, having executed all necessary purification, as follows. 2 days previously, Krishna and Balaram had executed their purification. They're relieved from offense by performing heroic deeds. The Lord reasoned, even after we have made our power known by breaking the bow and performing other feats, our parents have still not secured freedom. Kamsa is again trying to kill them. Therefore, although he is our material uncle, it will not be wrong for us to kill him. They answer the offenselessness by this reasoning. Are these mosquitoes? Okay, so this is wonderful pastimes of Krishna. We read in the Krishna book how Krishna came into Mathura. His motive was to kill Kamsa because his parents were still in the jail because of Kamsa. And they were threatened with being killed. So he wanted to clear that anxiety that his parents might have. So he came to the festival, especially to kill Kamsa, which he did, of course. So we read in the last chapter how coming into the arena or coming to Mathura, through Mathura, he performed many other wonderful pastimes, like straightening out the hunchback lady. He's like the original chiropractor. He's able to straighten everyone out. But we have to agree. And first, we can follow in the footsteps of this lady by offering something to Krishna. This should be the first from our side. We should think, what can I offer? So, of course, the best thing we can offer is ourselves, Atmani Vedanam. This is the highest goal. So this is the recommended process for all of us to surrender. Krishna asks for surrender. So why not agree? And then he'll help us at every step. If we're his surrendered devotees, there won't be any obstacles for us. Or those obstacles will be removed. And of course, Surrendering to Krishna means, first of all, surrendering to Srila Prabhupada. I remember Srila Prabhupada once said, the devotee was having some trouble. He said, come here with me, to me, and I'll kick away those troubles with one boot. So that was Prabhupada's position. He was Shakshadhari. He was as good as Krishna because he was very dear to Krishna. So all of us can approach Srila Prabhupada. We may say Krishna's far away. How do I know if he's pleased? How can I surrender to him? But we can all surrender to Srila Prabhupada, just like we were hearing this morning, how many books were distributed. So we know this is pleasing to Prabhupada. So if we take up the Prabhupada's mission, assisting him, his mission was to spread this all over the world, this chanting of Hare Krishna and surrendering to Krishna, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can assist him with that. Then we get the same credit as serving Krishna. Yasya Prasadam, Bhagavat Prasadam. By serving the devotee of the Lord, we get the mercy of the Lord. This is the system that Krishna arranged. We shouldn't try to directly approach Krishna, but we approach him through the parampara. So that parampara is still going on. And we're not Rikviks, we don't say everything stopped. But still, we can recognize that Prabhupada is the Acharya. This is mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 6, how we should approach the spiritual master, but he's coming in the line of the Acharya. So like me, I have some disciples, but I never think that I'm a guru. I think that I'm simply serving Srila Prabhupada. And we were doing this when Prabhupada was here. So it's not a big thing. We're just bringing everybody to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada brings everybody to Krishna. This is the system. Otherwise, we won't get the mercy of Krishna. Krishna arranged it in such a way, evam parampara. We have to go through disciplic succession. So these Rikviks are wrong about that. Prabhupada clearly wanted some of his disciples to initiate. But still, we don't have to think that they're at the same level as Prabhupada. I mean, what did Prabhupada do? What have we done? Prabhupada was able single-handedly to go all over the world and start this movement at the advanced age, 70 years old. How is it possible for an ordinary man to do that? So we want to recognize Prabhupada and put him in the center. Therefore, in all our temples, we have Srila Prabhupada's Murti. We have Srila Prabhupada's Guru Puj. We have Srila Prabhupada's books. We're not reading on the other books. Srila Prabhupada's books. Because he is empowered, Shaktivesh. So this we should establish, that Prabhupada's position is unique. He was sent by Lord Chaitanya with the power of Lord Nityananda. Shakti was coming from Lord Nityananda, because Lord Nityananda is like the original guru. So Srila Prabhupada is getting his power, and he can accept all of us for the next 10,000 years as Shiksha Guru. And there's no difference, Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru. I mean, there is a difference technically, but they're both capable. So we're very fortunate that in this life we had the chance to meet this Mahabhagavat, Srila Prabhupada. Kona Bhagyavanaji, Guru Krishna Prasad, Bhakti Lata Beach. Bhagyavan means fortune. So the greatest good fortune we can have is to connect with the Mahabhagavat. So all of us can do that. Prabhupada is here. His books are here. His mission is here. Just cooperate. Just agree to become an instrument in Prabhupada's mission. Not very difficult, but we have to try our best. That's what Prabhupada was requesting. He wanted us to, you could say, push on this movement. He was pushing himself, getting up every night, transcribing and translating these books, writing these elaborate purports, because that was the order of his spiritual master. And so he at the end, he said, I don't think I'm so qualified, but if there's any one qualification I had, I took the order of my spiritual master as my life and soul. So he took that order, and we see the result is, it's like a wonderful community we have here. This is all Prabhupada's mercy. And We should appreciate that. At the same time, we give credit to each other. The devotees like Raja Hari. Where is he? Rajahari, he also gets credit, right? Everybody gets credit because we're assisting Prabhupada. Prabhupada and Krishna will give us that credit. So we don't have to worry about our position. Our position is secured. Not like the Mayavadis, they lose their position. They become one. That means they don't have any position. Or the Buddhists, they become zero. No, we have a position. A position means identity. We have an identity. What is that? We're servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis. So we don't become zero. We have an identity, and it's a glorious identity. We are eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. But it's not a false identity. Now we have a false identity. I'm Indian, I'm American, I'm black, I'm white, I'm male, I'm female. So the real identity is I'm servant of the servant. So if we act on that platform, then our future is very bright. And it's easy. There's always something we can do. Clean the temple, clean the toilet, whatever we have to do, we can think. I'm being engaged now in the assisting Srila Prabhupada in his mission. Because the mission is not just selling books, it's also keeping the temple nice so people come and they're inspired. We see so many people come in the evening. I was impressed last night. So many local people coming and dancing with you. So this is all devotional service to Prabhupada, all assisting Srila Prabhupada. So we shouldn't think that, I'm not distributing books, therefore I'm useless. Everybody has a use. Of course, book distribution, they may get the special credit. Prabhupada sometimes gave the example of in the war. Those are on the front line. The government supplies them their necessities more readily. If someone else is in the home country, they're also helping in the war effort. So we're at a war, the war with Maya. This is Maya's kingdom. I remember once the Prabhupada came to London when I was there, 1969, and one of the Matajis, she very emotionally, she spoke, saying, Prabhupada, you're so wonderful. You want to save the whole world. So Prabhupada responded in a grave way. He said, yes, but this is Maya's kingdom. It's not an easy job. It's not easy because the default position is I'm serving Maya. I'm serving my senses. I think this is me. These eyes, I think these are my eyes. I can enjoy. I can taste some nice palatable food. I can hear nice music, but these puts us to the point of serving Maya, because these are temporary and we're eternal. So we're serving the illusory energy. We won't get the pleasure that's there in serving Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj says like that. It's chewing the chewed. We're trying to enjoy, but there's no real pleasure there. And therefore, they're singing. What is that? The Rolling Stones are singing. I can't get no satisfaction. But I try and I try and I try. So this is the material world. They're trying to get happy. And in youth, there's an illusion. Yes, you can be happy. But therefore, sometimes we say, sweet 16, but bitter 60s. The old people, they don't have much of a future. Because now they know it's dwindling. Right? The body is dwindling. The mind is dwindling. The appetite is dwindling. The skin is sagging. So they don't feel the same hope. In youth, we have some hope. But that hope is smashed in the course of time. Therefore, Krishna certified, Dukalayam Ashashvatam. There's no real happiness here in this world. What appears to be happiness is simply some relief of the misery. The Buddhists actually analyzed this perfectly. They say if you take all the pleasure and all the suffering and put them together, you get zero. So that's okay. But if we have a zero and we have minus one, what about plus one? Why not a plus one? The plus one is I'm serving Krishna. And Krishna is so wonderful. How he came into Mathura, how he helped that girl who was hunchback, how he accepted gifts from the merchant, how he killed the one merchant he killed, right? He wouldn't give him the cloth or something. What was it? He killed that. Yes. So like this, Krishna is not one-sided. This is 16th chapter describes the divine and demoniac. So in Kali Yuga, we don't kill like Krishna was killing, but we kill the mentality by loud chanting. This kirtan is emphasized. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalua nasteva, 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 gatiya yata. In the Kali Yuga, this is the recommended process. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. We don't have to change our position. Just go on with this chanting. You don't have to go to the Himalayas or something. We see we can create the spiritual atmosphere even in the middle of Bombay or Mumbai, right? When I was here last, it was Bombay. It's been a long time since I was here. But I have experience with Srila Prabhupada in this building. I remember I came into his quarters. When he first came in, it must have been, we were trying to figure out the time, but I calculate it was January 1977. Prabhupada was here, or the end of December, or beginning of January. And he wanted to move into his quarters, but they're not ready, Shiva. That's okay. I want to move anyway. So he came in. He was stayed a few days in his quarters here on the fifth floor, right? And so I came into Prabhupada's room and I saw the Prabhupada was sitting behind a desk. He was alone and I paid my obeisances. And when I got up, I said, Vaikuntha. I got the feeling that it was Vaikuntha. And Prabhupada said, what? And he knew what I said, but he wanted me to say it loudly. I said, Vaikuntha! And Prabhupada had a big smile on his face. So this was Prabhupada. He liked us to be personal with him. He did. I remember when I first came to New Vrindavan, this is like in 1969. And I was coming up the road to New Vrindavan. Prabhupada was there. And my godbrother, Burjan, maybe you know him from Australia. So he told me, because he was senior to me, he said, I was still, I don't think I was initiated yet. Yeah. So I was coming up. Maybe I was. Anyway, I was coming up the road and he told me, Prabhupada is sitting alone in the field. You should go over to him, bow down at his lotus feet and say his mantra loudly. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna. So I did that. We were just the two of us. He was out in the field. I came right up to his feet. I bowed down and I loudly said the Pranam Mantra. And Prabhupada, I looked up. Prabhupada had a big smile on his face. And then he started talking to me. Oh, where are you coming from? I said, New York. Oh, how are things in New York? And we exchanged for a few minutes. So Prabhupada liked us to be personal and straightforward and don't be so shy. He wanted us to be bold. For preaching, we have to be bold. This is a preaching mission. Sometimes I was too bold. Prabhupada slapped me, verbally. If I became too much like an American and pushy. But otherwise, he recognized because of enthusiasm. We were a little enthusiastic, so Prabhupada recognized. When I was getting initiation, he turned to Brahmananda, who was there. And he said to me, he said, he's a good one. Because I was a little enthusiastic. I was going to get initiated. I was waiting to see him and I took to water. I was enthusiastic. Probably could see that. So enthusiasm is, Rupa Goswami says, what is it? Utsaha, right? Utsaha. First thing is enthusiastic. Then patient. So sometimes I'm lacking in patience. And Prabhupada would correct me. So the two, they seem contradictory. We have to be very enthusiastic At the same time, we're patient. We have to wait for the mercy. We can't force our way into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will open to us. It's available to us, but only by mercy. It's coming down. Therefore, this kirtan is so wonderful. What does Narottam say? Goloka Premadana Harinama Sankirtan. This kirtan is coming from the spiritual world, from the Goloka Vrindavan. But we have to be sensitive to grasp that this is not ordinary sound vibration, not an ordinary cinema song. This kirtan is directly spiritual, not different than Krishna. So that will take some, you can say, practice before we can realize that. But the practice is easy. And Prabhupada sometimes said, I'm only asking you to give up the poison. What is that poison? Illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating. These things are poison. So if somebody says, stop taking poison, why is that difficult? It gives us a life. It gives us health. Like I'm 81 now, 81 years old. But people think, oh, he's got a lot of energy because I didn't, you know, break these principles. And so Krishna gives you mercy. This is a simple thing. In other words, Krishna is pavitram. He's completely pure. So we want to get close to Krishna. We have to become pure. He won't accept us if we're still contaminated. We're still eating meat or smoking or having illicit sex. He won't bring us close to him. Just like if somebody's very dirty and they smell bad, you're not going to go and embrace them. Because they're. So similarly, from Krishna's point of view, all these things are contaminations and he's not attracted to that. He's attracted to us, but we have to cleanse away. Wash away these impurities. And this process does it very simply. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Smara Parasevanam. Just by hearing and remembering and worshipping. So we can all do that. Even the women, children, everybody welcome. That was a benediction. Once Lord Chaitanya was offering his disciples and followers benediction. So everybody was coming. Everybody was there and Lord Chaitanya called them up one at a time. What benediction would you like? So one person said, oh, my uncle, he's not a devotee. Please bless him that he can become a devotee. And finished. Lord Chaitanya gave him that mercy. And someone else was coming and saying whatever. And then Advaitacharya came. Advaitacharya said, yes, this is Kali Yuga. Please give the benediction that women also can become pure devotees. Okay? Yes. So, by the mercy of Advaita, there's so many women in our tradition who are pure devotees. Just like we were reading about Abhimanyu's mother. What's her name? Uttara. Thank you. So, Uttara, and Prabhupada also mentions, when she was being attacked by Aswatthama, by the Brahmastra weapon, she ran to Krishna. And for protection. And Prabhupada talks there in the purport, how this lady is so pure. Mm. So anybody can become pure. We don't have restriction. Of course, Prabhupada didn't make women temple presidents and so on, but because it's a difficult, you know, you have to become like a little bit of like a kshatriya. So women don't go on the field to fight. Right? Like this, nowadays the war's going on. They're throwing bombs at each other. This is not really the way the kshatriyas fight. They come in the front and they directly see the enemy. Mm. Like even Lord Ramachandra, right? He was fighting directly. The Murti is here. He has his arrow, bow and arrow. He's fighting with Ravana. So, the point I'm making is, it's available for everybody. Why not take it? Very simple. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But again, we have to purify our chanting, improve the quality of our chanting. I'll tell you another story. I was giving Prabhupada massage. I think I was in London, yeah. And so every day I would go there at 11 o'clock in the morning to do that service. So I came this morning, but Prabhupada was doing correspondence. And he said, just sit there, and when I finish, you can massage. No sleeping. So I was sitting in front of him, a little way, you know, a few feet, and he was doing correspondence. So I had my beads, I was chanting. So suddenly Prabhupada looked up, and he said to me, you listen when you chant Hare Krishna? So I was thinking, of course I listen, otherwise why am I doing it? So Prabhupada read my mind, and he said, I know you listen, but you have to listen very carefully, because this chanting is the whole essence of our philosophy. So you learn how to chant, that was the end of the pastime. Prabhupada wanted us to listen very carefully when we chant our japa, not mumble the names, or not talk to somebody else. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur says also, he gives the advice that if we're going to sit down to chant, we should do at least 4 rounds. Not that you chant half a round, and then you do something else, and then you go over here and you... No, chant at least 4 rounds at a time, nicely. Then, if you have to do something, use the toilet or something, then come back to it. But if you're going to seriously chant, it shouldn't be so broken up. You chant 5 minutes, then you're on the phone, then you do it. Therefore, we get up early in the morning. This is the best time for chanting. You don't take phone calls. So now this is my japa period. So that we can improve the quality of our chanting. Everybody can improve. Who can say they're chanting so perfectly they can't improve? So this is a challenge. We want to improve the quality of our chanting, both japa and kirtan. And we want to also preach. Prachar and achar, the two lines. Practice and preaching. So if we're not practicing nicely, how can we tell people come and chant Hare Krishna? We're not chanting Hare Krishna properly. So let's everybody try to, first of all, achar. Achar means the practice. We can improve our practice. Then we have some purity, and that gives us force. Prabhupada said, purity is the force. So we have purity. Then we can impress people. They'll be inspired by our words. Otherwise, if we're breaking the principles, then how can people be inspired by us? So this is the first point. We have to practice what we preach. And Prabhupada was certainly doing that. He was chanting on his beads. He was coming and greeting the deities, paying dandavats. Until the last days, I was there in the last days also. Then Prabhupada wasn't chanting so much, but what we did do in Prabhupada's quarters, we had kirtan going all the time. All the time. We had small little cartels, and in the back of the room, that kirtan was going, two or three of us. And the only time we stopped, when Prabhupada was talking. Even when he was sleeping, he wanted it. So he was hearing the holy name, even sleeping. And it was always there. But if he spoke something, of course we'd stop. And then he would speak to his secretary, or he would speak to us. He was giving instructions, even in those last days. I remember I got sick, you know, with a bad cold. And so I didn't go into Prabhupada's room for a few days, because we were coming every day. And then I came back. Prabhupada didn't see well, but he recognized my voice in the singing. And he said, oh, you are still here. And I remember thinking, where would I go, Prabhupada? But he spoke more. He was like in the mood of the Mahabhagavat, who sees everybody serving Krishna except him. So he said, I'm simply a disturbance. You young boys should be out preaching, but you have to stay with me. So it was like breaking my heart, Prabhupada. Why are you speaking like that? We want to be. I didn't speak because it wasn't my turn to speak. He was speaking. So he spoke like that in a very humble way, saying, I'm simply a disturbance to you. And then he said, call the others. So the other, you know, means the Tamal and the other leading GBCs who were there. They all came into Prabhupada's room. Then Prabhupada said, I'm simply causing a disturbance. I want to go on Prikram. So let's go on the bullocks. You know, maybe you know the pastime. At the end, Prabhupada wanted to go on a bullocks cart all around Govardhan Hill. I mean, he didn't at the end, ultimately, but it was like for us it seemed insane because his body was so tender. And but anyway, the point I'm making is that Prabhupada was very conscious. He could see if we made a little mistake, and he would correct us. And at the same time, he never became senile or something like that. Not until the last day. The last day, or was it November 14th? So I came to the Prabhupada's room. No, I woke up and I said, it wasn't my time to chant because we chanted in shifts. But something impelled me to go to Prabhupada's room. And when I got there, Giriraj Maharaj, you heard of him, right? He spends time here. He spent a lot of time here, right? So he came there too. I said, Giriraj, why are you here? It's not your time to chant. He said, I don't know. Something impelled me to get up. So the both of us went into Prabhupada's room. And then Prabhupada had lost external consciousness. He was no longer aware. But he was making some sound, like some mystical sound was coming out of his mouth. And the Kaviraj was there. He said, because he's connecting to Krishna, so there's some ecstatic symptom that was there. He was making an ecstatic symptom, and it was just, but he didn't talk. So the point I was making, that he was very conscious up to that very last day. That was the last day. And he left the planet that evening. So Prabhupada's consciousness was, because that's the symptom of the soul is consciousness. So his consciousness was pure and very astute. You know, you couldn't pull some, if you said the wrong verse, he would correct you. He was very conscious, even up to the last day. So we can also have that kind of a consciousness. If we remain in Krishna consciousness, then we won't get old like ordinary people. Ordinary people, they get old, they lose their memory, they forget, they get Alzheimer's, all these things. It won't happen to the devotees. Because Krishna says, from me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So from Krishna, we'll be inspired not to forget about him, not to forget ordinary things even. But we have to become pure. This is the first qualification. Therefore, we have these four regular principles, and it's like this chair, this is standing on four legs. So religion stands on four legs. Cleanliness, austerity, mercy, and truthfulness. These are the four legs of religion. Cleanliness, that corresponds with no illicit sex. If you're having illicit sex, then your mind is dirty, you can't avoid it. Cleanliness, austerity. Austerity means no intoxication. When you take intoxication, then you think, oh, I'm in the top of the world. I don't have to do it. They get drunk, right? So austerity, then mercy. Mercy means don't kill animals. How can you be merciful if you're cutting the throat of the poor cow? Terrible. So I should stop now? Is it time? Yeah? A couple more minutes. Well, I'm pretty much finished. Cleanliness, austerity, mercy, and truthfulness. Truthfulness means no gambling. No, you know, you think you're going to get rich quick by doing something. We should work and earn our money in an honestly way, and whatever we need, Krishna will provide. If we're honest, if we work honestly, we'll be easily employed, or we can start our own business or whatever. But that was a secondary thing. The first thing is, don't cheat. Do we have a cheating propensity? One of the four propensities, right? Cheating. So give up this cheating propensity. Be straightforward. This is one of the symptoms of the Vaishnava. He's not tricky. I heard Prabhupada was criticizing that, oh, these people are simply tricky. So we don't want to be. Why not be straightforward? I am what I am. I don't claim to be a pure devotee. I'm following a pure devotee, and I'm hoping for his mercy that someday I can also become a pure devotee. Everybody can preach like that. We don't have to pretend that we're something that we're not. We're aspiring to become pure devotees. And Because of that desire, we have some potency. Krishna will help us. Krishna will bring people to hear from us. This is my experience. So please remain fixed to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and his movement, and chant Hare Krishna with devotion and attention, and your future is very bright. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki. Any question? So now we should greet the deity or something? I want to sing. Can I sing Yasomati Nandana? Okay, let's stand up. Who's going to arrange the microphone for me? Yasomati Nandana Rajabara Nagara Gokula Ranjana Kana. Oh, Yasomati Nandana Rajabara Nagara Gokula Ranjana Kana. Hey, Gopi Parana Dana Madana Manahara. Oh, Gopi Parana Dana Madana Manahara. Kaliya Namana Vidana. Hey, Kaliya Namana Vidana. Amala Harinam Amiya Vilasa. Amala Harinam Amiya Vilasa. Pina Purandara Navinana Garabara Vam Sivadana Suvasa. Hey, Vipina Purandara Navinana Garabara Vam Sivadana Suvasa. Hey, Praja Jana Palana Surakula Nasana. Hey, Praja Jana Palana Surakula Nasana. Nanda Godana Rakovala. Hey, Nanda Godana Rakovala. Govinda Madhava Navanita Taskara. Govinda Madhava Navanita Taskara. Sundara Nanda Gopala. Hey, Sundara Nanda Gopala. Yamuna Tatachara Gopi Sanahara. Yamuna Tatachara Gopi Vasanahara. Vasara Sikha Kripa Maya. Oh, Vasara Sikha Kripa Maya. Vasara Shira Adava Alava Vindavana Natavada. Shira Adava Alava Vindavana Natavada. Vakati Vinarashaya. Hey, Bhakti Vinoda Shaya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hey! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, hey! Holy name! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, hey! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare, hey!
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, hey, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Hare, hey!
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, hey!
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Bo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ram Ram Hare 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Gopi Vinanda. Any questions? Namo Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Shri Mataji.